Hi, this is comedian Liz Blanc, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host, Gigi Chick.
And today, we have a special guest, who I just met for the first time 5 minutes ago. And he is a comedian, and probably going to have the best voice we've ever had on the podcast so far.
Total
Mr.
radio
Sam
voice.
Obel.
Hi. You put the expectation really high. Now I got to be self-conscious of my voice.
No, don't do that. By the time this is over, you won't give a fuck.
You're one of, like, two awesome speaking voices that we've had on here so
the
far.
Other one
you and
lady. Yeah,
you and you and Jessie Ricker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So,
well, the other lady was
you top it for the men so
didn't
far.
Did you say she was related to Loretta Lynn or something?
Yeah,
like
I seriously.
That?
She started talking like you really sound like you're like an old like country singer or something. The way that you speak, she's like, "Well, I am related to Loretta Lynn."
Oh,
I mean, how could I have known that?
Yeah, exactly.
And so needless to say.
The voice genes.
I'm in
strong.
Love. No.
Right.
So you, Sam, said your default setting is cancer survivor.
Yep. I have had brain cancer for basically my entire life.
Wow. So when did you first find out that you had cancer?
It was like the first time I was like consciously aware of it was probably like when I was a kid in like middle school or kindergarten, okay. Honestly. But it was like really early on. There was two surgeries that had to happen like in like 1999 and then 2001, I believe.
Okay. How old were you then?
Like barely 3.
Wow. And so, can you tell us a little bit about like how they discovered it? Like,
so that's where it gets foggy. Cause obviously like I was uber young for most of it. So I assume they just got picked up on like an MRI, which is, you know, what I routinely had growing up. And it was just like, yeah, there's this thing, and it's gray in the picture here, which means it's bad.
What caused the need for an MRI to begin with?
I have no idea.
Really? Like, your parents never told you?
I don't know. I don't go that much that far back.
Really?
But one of the side effects that like has been a red flag throughout, like, you know, maybe something's happening, is when I had seizures. That tends to be indicative of a development.
Okay. And so you said you had two surgeries at very young ages.
Yep.
You said the first one was when you were 3?
I think so.
Okay. And the second one was when you were around 5?
Basically.
Okay. Were they pretty invasive or what did it involve? Do you know?
No, I really just, you know, they just put me to sleep and then I wake up and I'm like, wow, why does my head hurt? So they like go in and depending on, you know, the area, sometimes they can take the tumor out or, you know, like use some kind of chemical. I'm not a brain surgeon. I don't.
Sure.
But then they put stuff like plates and screws to put it back together, which I guess is the invasive part.
Mm-hmm.
There. And it has like a, if you look at the back of my head, which you can't do now, there's a really fancy scar.
Cool. Chick stick scars.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
True story.
So when you've had the two surgeries when you were really young, have they had to really do a whole lot more since then? Or
yes, they have actually, okay. Especially recently. So,
oh wow!
In going into high school in 2010, I had a seizure in like I was getting in the shower and then I had a seizure and I was like, oh shoot! And then that ended up being a result of the tumor advancing and growing, and so they had to go in for that, which they did, and that was successful. And then, you know, later on, my junior year in college, there was no seizure, but I was, I guess, like, in the MRI, they picked it up again, and they were like, it's, something's happening there, so we can either wait or go in, and then I was just like, yeah, do it, I don't care.
So, I think I've never had cancer, unfortunately, and I don't really know, unfortunately. I don't want to be like, oh, I've never had cancer, so unfortunately, I just don't have much familiarity, with it, but so when you had it as a child, I assume there's one of, it's one of those things where they do follow-ups every year sort of thing to sort of check to see how things are going. Were you in remission for a while and then sort of the tumor resurfaced or...
Yeah, so as a kid growing up, it was, they did the two surgeries, and then I had chemotherapy up until I was in, I think, the third grade.
Okay.
And that was a weekly visit. You know, you show up, and then they stab you, and then you sit there, and I watched Dora the Explorer on the TV.
Aww.
And then they, like, bring me ice cream, and then they gave me, like, a stuffed animal when
I mean, how
left.
Did you feel at the time?
Were
you
I was like, this is the life.
Okay.
I don't get to be in school. I get
sure.
a free Beanie Baby at the end,
yeah.
which I amassed quite a collection by the time
That's
that
so
was
cute.
Done.
That's adorable. But you said that you had chemo when you were in third grade, and then that they just kind of monitored it to see if it like shrank.
Yeah,
then...
it was up until that third grade, and then you know, for one reason or another, they were like, "Yeah, we're good to go. We can stop. You know, you're fine." And then you know, remission for a little bit, and then.
So did that period of time did that affect your school life or social life at school? I mean, as far as.
It actually
hanging
did
out with friends, acting like a normal kid.
Yeah, I remember a little. I was thinking about this stuff a little more recently because I was like, you know, for lack of a better term, fragile at school.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird when I think about it, but they isolated an area outside during recess.
Oh.
And it was just like, it wasn't on the blacktop or by the playground, you know, because God forbid I like fall off the swings. But it was in, like, this hedged-in area, which,
oh
like,
God.
The more I think back about it is, like, they kind of just put me in a corner.
Very
bubble boy.
But, I mean, like, obviously they did it out of, like, safety and concern, but it's just kind of amusing looking back on it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They, like, they did, like, a draft with the rest of the class on who would hang out with me at recess, because, like, but I never really knew. I was like, do people want to hang out
drafted.
With me, or do they not want to get stuck in the garden with me while everyone's playing kickball over
oh,
there?
My
I don't
God.
Know. But,
How
I mean,
long did that last?
It's such a blur, all that childhood stuff. And I obviously don't look back on it like, wow, you know, I wish they'd let me on the playground.
It clearly didn't have
it
that
was,
bad of a negative
it really
effect
didn't.
On you.
And I was, you know, fine, obviously.
Yeah. It just wow. seems bananas. Like,
yeah, like I look back and I'm like, I was like shunned.
You're like, wait a second. That
Not
was...
Shunned, but it was a, you know, like it's an interesting position, I assume, for like the administration of a school to be like, okay, we have this kid. What if something happens?
Was it like an immune system thing like they were worried about because of your...
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Probably just normal childhood injuries. That
yeah.
Would,
it makes sense. You know, they weren't
know,
want me like running around.
It's probably a very intentional thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's bananas. So you were in remission, it sounds like, through like the later part of your elementary school through mid-high school, it sounded like?
Yeah, so when I graduated eighth grade, going into high school, it was in the summer, and we were staying, because we were in the process of moving, so we were staying at a friend's house, mm-hmm. and they had a pool. And so I was going for a swimming, it's the summer, and then I was like, all right, I'm going up to shower afterwards. And I remember, like, having a seizure in the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
And it's really interesting. Sometimes I'm going to describe it for you, even if you don't want me to.
No, I do want you to.
It's a distinct feeling. I remember of just like almost like a cramp, but in like every limb, it's just kind of like a locking of the joints.
Yeah.
And I was like, I locked the bathroom door because I'm a teenage boy taking a shower. So I was like, clearly I have to
unlock it.
Do something. Yeah. And it was really difficult, but I was able to do that. And then I just like fell on the ground. And then my mother like came to the rescue as per usual. And then I eventually, you know, they rolled me out and like did that surgery, and then I did start high school, and that was the 2010. That was the third surgery.
Oof. So did the seizure, it kind of sounds like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they had seen like the tumor coming back and then mm-hmm. sort of had a seizure. So when you had the seizure, they did the MRI and they were like,
yeah.
Oh, it's back.
It really
again.
Was like out of a left field kind of thing. I don't remember like having any like warning signs or like anyone like saying, oh,
gotcha.
If this happens, call us, look out
right.
for this. I just kind of remember like, boom, here it is.
So was that third surgery the last surgery you had?
Nope. There's
oh,
more.
Wow.
Billy Mays here with your brain surgery.
Oh, good Lord.
So my junior year in college, I began to just like, you know, taking the bus downtown to Cleveland State University, like just randomly throughout the day, I would get the smell of like sulfur and I'd be like, what is this? Like, does anyone else smell that? And
downtown does stink.
Which
I know, which is
like
why
a
I didn't
smell.
Yeah,
I'm
like, yeah, that smells like sewage.
Especially
yeah.
on the shoreway. It's
yeah,
like,
I know.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is probably nothing. But I talked about it with my mother and then my neurologist. And he was like, well, monitor that. And they like prescribed me this anti, because that could be a sign that my brain is seizing, but the medication I'm taking is preventing the seizure from actually happening.
Okay.
So it's like a pseudo seizure.
Gotcha.
And that eventually went on. And then in a routine MRI, they scanned and it was like, okay, we have to do something about this. And that was 2016 in the summer.
Okay.
Gotcha. And they went in and that was fine. But what happened is during the surgery, I don't know if it was, something happened that resulted in the part of my head where they go in was inflating with spinal fluid.
Oh no.
Which is, it's really weird because then you just feel like extra pressure up in your head. It's like heavier.
Sure.
And so, you know, they can drain it. So when it got like outrageous, we'd go in and then they would put a syringe in my head and pull it out. And
good
then
God.
Because it was just after the surgery, they'd wrap my head back up. And it's, you know, if it swells back up, make sure you
people come back. People trashing shit outside. Like, sorry, we got distracted for a minute.
Someone's excited.
Yeah.
And it kept swelling back up. And they were like, well, we can do a procedure to put in a shunt, which is,
yeah,
you know, like a mechanism.
My grandpa had strokes and never put shunts. Yeah.
It's like a tube that just redirects things. Yep. In the body. And I was like, oh, I really, that sounds uncomfortable. I don't want to do that.
Sure.
But what happened is, you know, my mother was like wrapping my head in whatever it is after like we had drained it. And, you know, she's I'm like, you got to wrap it tight so that it doesn't inflate, you know, a lot.
Mm.
And it was just like this extremely, it was like someone was trying to make my head explode. I was like, yeah, we're going to have to do this. You're going to have to put the thing in.
That was way better. The shunt was way better.
Then so they did that and voila.
Well, you would never know. Like, you seem like a fully functional, it's like adorable human being.
I walk in and Pete is like, Pete? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, so what's your topic? And I'm like, brain cancer. And he's like, what? It's not my opening line.
Lies.
Well, it's funny. We have a friend of the show, my friend Jamie Overstreet, shout out. She had brain cancer as well. And I think hers was like right over her ear and it was like smaller and they didn't discover it until later in life. But she talks a lot about how like, how that affects her and things like that. So I'm wondering, was there any genetic instances of cancer in your family previously? Or
not that I know of, and certainly not of brain cancer.
Okay.
I think, no, I don't,
so
I don't think so.
So yours is the first real instance in your family?
I believe so.
Did they have any theories at all about how people developed the specific type you had or anything like that?
No, my mother always refers to it as an anomaly, because it just like came out of nowhere and was, you know, like dealt with out of nowhere. Because you know, allegedly, I have yet to actually like ask my neurologist these questions because only like recently have I been like a little more interested in things.
Sure, yeah.
Like the odds of this kind of tumor being found, especially in like infants and like how they deal with it and their like survival rate and things like that. Are things I never really cared to think about,
sure.
But I'm like, you know, I wonder.
Yeah, but for sure. So because you've sort of had this your whole life, like, I feel like it probably affects you a lot differently than people who develop cancer later in life, where they kind of think of it as like this crazy thing that happened. I mean, to sort of the point of, I guess, the episode, I mean, is this just like, this is just how it's kind of always been, and it doesn't really seem like, has it had a profound effect as far as being scary or being aggravating, or is it just kind of like that's your life and you've just always been used to it, or is it both?
Yeah, that's just the way it is. I'm like a really go with the flow kind of person and roll with the punches. So it's especially like this has really been a benchmark for a lot of things that happen in life. I'm just like, oh, well, we got to deal with it. You know, what can you do?
Yeah.
It doesn't really, if anything, it's made me not scared at all of anything medical related. So anytime there's any kind of doctor's appointment, I'm like, just do whatever, chop my arm off. You can have it. I've got another one. It's fine. it's a really, like, I just like live in in conjunction with it.
Yeah.
It's not a, not a issue, I guess.
Does it increase your tolerance for, in general, what kind of scares you? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
My older brother is like horrified of needles, and
my boyfriend's too.
I've probably had over like 100 IVs in my life, if I had to guess, just because of like, you know, chemotherapy. They had to like poke me every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've only had a few bad experiences with IVs because sometimes it's like the where they put them can be like really uncomfortable.
Oof.
Especially if it's in like the foot.
Oof.
There was actually, while I was waiting for the fourth surgery, which was, so we're down at Akron Children's Hospital, which is where we go. Shout out to the brain surgeon team down there. And
absolutely.
They had to They had to put an IV in me, and they were just going to do it right in the in my right arm, in the elbow, whatever that vein's called.
Armpit, or not yeah. armpit, but elbow pit, I guess.
Yeah.
Elbow pit. Yeah. Scientific.
And it's a very simple process. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like I could very easily give someone an IV
yeah.
just because how many times I've seen it done and experienced it. Mm-hmm. They bring in a flock of nurses. There's
oh, no.
like four women here. They've got like every design of scrubs known to man.
Newbies.
And they, I know, well, you would think, but they were like really like old looking, which they still could be newbies, you know. But so there's like a group of women. Usually it's like one guy and he's like, okay, done. So they walk in and they have this giant machine and I'm like, what is that? And like, oh, this is an ultrasound machine. Like, oh, I didn't realize I was having a kid.
Right.
And she takes the ultrasound and she's like, yeah, we just got to scan your arm for the vein. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's right there.
Oh,
and you guys can see it right here. It's
yeah,
just,
I can
there
see it.
There it is. And so she scans for that. And then, yeah, so I was already like, this is absurd. And she's like rubbing the jelly on it. And I keep hitting this.
What?
Yeah, because I don't, I have no idea if they just wanted to be like really sure that they got it. And so they stick me with the needle, and then my eyes roll back. And then the next thing I remember, it was, like, a ride at Cedar Point. Because I remember, like, my body, like, moving back and forth. I'm like, whoa, what's happening? This is so weird. And it was, like, some kind of reactionary seizing, I guess.
Oh.
And it's, no, it sounds much worse, much, much worse than it actually was. Like,
still
it was...
Well. Like you
it was
passed out
it was
and
hilarious.
It kind of turned into
yeah, like my eyes closed.
Because I've done that before,
and then I remember just like my body jerking back and forth, and I was like, "What's happening? This is so weird. Do you guys see this?" I was. It was an experience.
You're gonna have kids trying that now. That's gonna be the next DMT. Like, yeah. Woo, self roller coaster ride.
Oh, seriously, that happened to me my freshman year of high school. I like passed out, and apparently, I don't remember. I just remember feeling like. Very grossed out because of something we were watching. And I mm-hmm. had been like passing out a lot and right. passed out. And apparently like my head went back and my face was white and my lips were purple. And I was just like
oh
choking. And everyone's like, all the cheerleaders were like, like screaming. And
like,
I woke up
M-G.
To the whole classroom emptied and was on the floor covered in like kids' hoodies. And my feet were up on some kid's giant freshman backpack. And my teacher, Mrs. Cook, was like stroking my cheek like, honey, you just had a seizure. It's gonna be okay. So that's the only one I've ever had.
Oh God.
See, like,
so I don't really remember. I just remember like the feeling of passing out, which I've done many times.
What caused that?
Well, if I this is how it used to be. When I would get grossed out or something would upset me or stir me up, my heart would do like weird things and I would just pass out.
Okay.
So but that was the only time that it turned into like a weird small seizure.
That's crazy.
And that's already like worse than the experience I described to you. It was like it was just like a surprise and like a weird sequence of events, because usually it's just one person walks in and it's like, we're gonna swab your arm with the alcohol thing and boom, 1, 2, 3, done,
like how it normally is.
It was just like, so like, what is happening?
Right. So I presume you still have follow-ups that you go to?
Yep, like every 6 months or so.
Okay. And do they just do MRIs or what
yep.
do they do? Okay.
They just scan it, and then we go to a variety of people, and they're like, if you'll see by this picture, this gray part is not as gray as it was 2 years ago, which
okay.
is good. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And then I think the longer you're in remission, the like less you have to go, correct? Or the longer you're in
life. Yes. There is like surprisingly a lot that I don't pay attention to in this. Mm-hmm. As I said, I'm like a really go with the flow. You tell me
well,
like only what I need to know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really like when they show the scans, it's like, oh, here's every single picture that we took in like the 45-minute scan of your brain from like every angle known to man. And I'm like, oh, I don't care. Can I leave? Like,
oh,
not
I
that
care.
I like don't care, but it's just like, I don't.
You've been doing this for so long. It's probably
you're like,
not...
if you didn't see anything. I'm
yeah,
not going
exactly.
To.
Right, what do I give a shit?
I'm like, where's my sticker and my pretzel rod? Come on, I know
where's
how this
works. Where's my beanie, baby? Yeah. Let's get this going.
Pretzel rod? Nice.
So even as a kid, I mean, it sounds like because it was just sort of a natural state of things as a kid, there wasn't like a lot of sadness, anger, self-pity, any sort of that sort of stuff because you just didn't have the perspective to know.
Yeah, basically like any, if it had happened to me at... you know, like the age I am now, anything that I would be going through was probably gone through by like everyone else in my family at the time.
Sure.
Cause I'm just like, la, 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 la. But like, you know, like my mom, my dad and my brothers and like all my other family. they were in a overdrive mode there. For definitely sure. Putting in the extra hours, figuring out and noting the things that I was unable to and didn't really care to.
Yeah. So, okay, so you said you have brothers.
Yep.
Older, younger?
No, I have two older brothers.
Two older brothers. You're the youngest.
Yep.
Okay. So you're the baby compounded the fact that you had cancer. So
it's quite a combination. Yeah. I get everything I want.
Yeah. we often talk about that because Gigi and I are both the oldest. So it's like we have experience with younger brothers.
Syndrome. And my youngest brother was constantly in and out of surgery since he was a baby because he had a cleft lip and a cleft palate. So he was super babied.
Yeah.
Like it's hardcore.
It's real.
Still is.
I'm not even the favorite child, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's because my older brother looks more like my mother than I do.
Oh, really? Is that an aesthetic thing? I've heard that.
It is. It's real.
Favor someone.
She told me that, like, last week.
Ah! She was like, your brother's my favorite because he looks like me. At least she's honest.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'm like that's fine.
Each parent has a different favorite.
I mean, at least they busted ass to keep you alive, so they obviously care about
like,
you.
You can have any favorite you want. That's
you
okay.
You kept me alive. That's the important
they
thing.
Care at least I'm in the running.
Yeah. Do you have a close relationship with your brother?
I don't know, because like especially compared to like other people and their siblings, I would say like yeah, but not like as in I'm gonna go home and kick down the door with a six pack and be like, sure. Bro, yeah. Let's hang out. It's right, like right. When it matters, yes,
yeah.
But we don't like hang out or like talk all the time.
My brother and I, yeah.
And me and the oldest brother, we have like a fairly intense banter. All the time.
Oh, really?
It, like, irritates my mother how much we just go back and forth. But, like, we know it's kind of a joke.
Is it, like, political, sports, all of it?
It's just all of it. Like, he'll walk upstairs, and I'll be like, where'd you get that outfit? And and then it just goes from there. It's whatever. I look at him, and I'm like, how can I make this situation worse than it is at the moment?
Ball busting. Good times. I like it. So what was I going to say? So we talked a lot about... kind of the condition and all that kind of stuff. And it sounds like, you know, psychologically you just roll with it, which is pretty interesting and pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any sort of residual effects on your parents or your brothers, or are they just kind of at a place where they're finally not glad they're not having to sort of hustle to get you, you know, well and all that kind of stuff? Or
yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, everything really seems to, you know, be at a lull, and obviously, like, it's in the times where it's come back, my family can rally for a crisis, like, in the blink of an eye, cool. Extremely well.
Yeah.
But everything kind of reverts to a status quo of sorts, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We were talking earlier about how it affects your perspective as far as, like, tolerance for being scared of things. Are you a risk taker?
I think it depends on the kind of risk.
Okay.
That's it. It depends.
So, okay, like, let's have an example. Like, are you adventurous? Like, would you be the kind of person who, like, cliff dives or skydives or gets tattoos or piercings or, like, I mean...
I would say no, but that would be out of, like, my own interest.
Okay.
You know, it's not, like...
Fear stopping you.
Yeah. You know, it's like, if a brain cancer couldn't stop me, like, five times over, I could probably cliff dive if I wanted to, but I don't want to.
Are you afraid of anything?
I'm afraid of spiders.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean...
Because you're a human.
Yeah.
There's, like, other things, you know, like, I'm afraid of, like, being alone. And just, I'm actually afraid of wind at night when I'm sleeping.
Okay.
It's really interesting. So, like, if I'm trying to sleep at night and I hear, like, the howling wind or, like, I hear, like, a tree shaking or, like, hitting a window or something, I, like, can't sleep. And I'm like, this has got to stop. This is ridiculous.
You would hate my apartment. I live on the lake. Have you ever heard the wind in my apartment? I'll have to show you a video after this of, like...
Or you cannot.
Because you're really afraid. Well, I was just gonna, I mean, you're not trying to sleep when I'm showing it to you, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's, like...
Your bedroom especially, like...
Yeah, in the winter. I can't explain what it is, but, like, I'm at the Port of Cleveland, so the lake is right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm on the fourth floor, so I'm higher up. And I think it's just the way my windows are, but it literally is just like, ooh. Like, it's literally so.
That sounds
You would
awful.
Also hate my work building insane. Because when it's super windy outside, it sways. Okay. Like, you can actually feel it. And it's a building that's like 40 some floors, and I'm on the 24th, and you can like, the windows go.
Oh my God.
And you can literally like, it almost feels like a minor earthquake in like a weird way, but it's literally the building just
swaying.
Just barely swaying. Yeah.
I don't know. So. I don't know if it's like a fear that like a tree is going to come crashing down onto my house or something. I think that's kind of it, but I don't really know where it came from. And that's not like a huge deal. It's just like if I'm trying to sleep and it's in the middle of a storm, I'm just like All right, well, this is annoying. Hey, I'm not, like, curled up like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to die.
Right. Are you into horror movies at all?
Oh, I do like horror things.
Okay.
I think horror movies can be fun. I like to, whenever I watch a movie, I like to do, like, a Mystery Science Theater kind of thing. I never watch movies in silence.
Yeah,
I just kind of sit there, and I'm like, yeah, why are they going that way when the door is open over there? It's way more fun that way.
Me too.
Especially with horror movies.
Yes. That I can actually, that makes it palatable for me because it takes me out a little bit so that I'm not getting so terrified.
I would
by
have
what
to do that with
happening.
Scary movies.
Yeah. Like, I'd be like, oh, look at this guy over here.
What's also, I'd have to be like sitting on someone's lap, holding someone else's hand, wrapped in a blanket, and then sleep next to someone for like at least a week after.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. A lot of scary movies, especially when they're psychological thrillers, like,
yeah.
I can take myself out. Like, and just, you know, break the fourth wall a little bit and just be like, okay, that's an actor, that's an actress. But there are some, they're just straight up like, those fucking Rob Zombie horror movies, there is no amount of me telling myself this is just a movie that will, like, get me to not, to be able to sleep that night. There's just
I'm such a pansy with scary things that I, not even kidding, I wish I was kidding, was watching Riverdale at home by myself this weekend. Literally, it was in the house. It was like, had become dark because I had been watching that much Netflix. The cats were with me, but I was home alone. And like, shit started getting real on there. And I was like, oh God, I shouldn't be watching this anymore. It's too close to bedtime.
My parents one time left me.
On Riverdale?
So I'm screwed. Yeah, Riverdale. Season 2.
Wow.
Get sketch.
All right. Well, note to self, kids. If you're
tune in to your CW network.
Is it CW that it's on?
Riverdale.
I think so, yeah. Because I just watch it on Netflix.
Gotcha.
So.
That's like an Archie thing, right? Like it's based
and Jughead.
Archie. Okay.
It's actually,
I've heard really good things about, like, I've heard, and there's like a podcast where they talk about it. It's like a whole fucking thing. Nice. When I was 16, my parents were insanely overprotective. So I don't think I was actually even allowed to stay home by myself until I was like 16. It was really crazy. But, one night they went away. It was a Saturday night and I was like, I'm going to watch Scream and it's going to be amazing. And I'm like by myself. And the thing is, my parents live in the sticks. Like, they live in the middle of nowhere.
So. I know, that's what I was thinking. Like,
there's like no one to save you or hear you yell. So like, they came home at like 10:30 and I'm not even exaggerating. Literally every light in the entire house was on. Wow. And they just found me in my room, like curled up in the fetal position, like rocking back and forth. And they were like, yeah, okay.
I'm scared of the country. Yeah. So I feel more claustrophobic in the country than I do in the city.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, there's nowhere to go. There's no lights out here. Anyone could murder me, and it won't be found for like a month.
There's no one here to save me, but there's someone
at
here to murder
me. City,
though.
Someone else. At least in the city, I'll be close enough to someone where they'll smell my body after
exactly.
Like a few days.
Yeah, they'll smell it first and foremost.
Right,
exactly.
For sure. They won't hear you yell, but they'll smell your.
They won't see
body.
Anything.
They'll hear you yell and be like, "Was that?" I don't know.
Walking out of the bar. Hey, Bill, was that a
I mean,
that,
all the
murder?
Serial killers are like older white males, so it's probably out in the country
this
anyways.
Is true.
This is very
Think
true.
About it.
They're usually crazy farmers or Unabomber.
Yeah.
You said you were from the Burbs?
Yep.
What part?
Avon Lake,
okay. And have you always just been from that area? Or?
Yeah, like Avon Lake.
That's cool. You graduated from college?
Yep, I just graduated from Cleveland State University a month ago.
And you mentioned you were interested in radio. What did you major in?
I majored in, technically I have two majors.
Okay.
One is communications.
That was mine.
But then they have a separate program for communication management,
ooh,
which is completely different.
Okay.
There's actually just like a one class difference. So I'm like with the advisor. I'm like, yeah, I'll just get both. So that way I can just say, oh, I have a double major.
There you
it
are.
Sounds much more impressive.
You adapted.
That's
very,
what I did
like,
too.
Oh, I have a double major.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's like, yeah, that sounds good.
Are you, and then you double majored too, right?
Sociology and criminology. They went like very hand in hand.
See, that makes sense. So
I was studying like crazy deviants from and like how society affected them, and then also how the individual affects society. It was like both sides of it. So it's kind of cool.
You guys both went to CSU. You went to CSU?
Yep.
You went to CSU also.
Mm-hmm. And I used to live in Avon Lake.
Wow, so much in common.
This is like a weird side note, but I don't know if you know anyone like this, but I knew a lot of people in Avon Lake who had leukemia.
Oh, yeah.
And it was
about
one
this.
Of those like weird things where people would say like it's from the water because there's like that power plant at the cut, they used to call it, Mill River Park.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Well, and so
I've swam in there many times. I didn't grow up in Avon Lake. I only lived there like middle school and high school, and then I commuted to CSU from there. Mm-hmm. The 55 bus used to take me all the way down Lake Road. It's an hour.
It still does.
They put it back.
Yeah,
they took it.
Well, not all the way to Avon Lake.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say I was the last one of the last riders on that bus, but yeah, it's just one of those weird things.
Well, that's kind of what I wondered, like, as far as we're talking a little bit about the source, because so friend of the show BJ Colangelo, shout out, she was from an area in Chicago where so she ended up getting pancreatic cancer. One of her best friends got breast cancer. Her dad had, I want to say, liver cancer or kidney cancer, one of the two. And they all lived near a power plant, and they were relatively certain that it had something to do with that.
Huh.
And that's like, I watch Mr. Robot, and so I always reference some Mr. Robot shit, because like that was the thing. A lot of people died from like cancer exposure or whatever in this like power plant thing. So it's kind of crazy to me that like that is at least correlated in some way.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things that like a lot of people in Avon like talk about and like know, but they don't say like, what are we going to do about this?
Right. Or, well, correlation doesn't equal causation.
This is the first time hearing about it.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
So you went to CSU, both, I guess, in high school, from the perspective of high school and college, did you have any, learning limitations with regard to brain cancer?
Nope. No, not really.
And no developmental limitations either?
Nope.
That's really fortunate. That's
awesome. It was like, it's one thing that I like about it is that you don't really know unless I tell you, which is, I think, really cool and really interesting about it.
Because
it is just kind of like a mic drop. It's like, oh, I'm Sam. My favorite color is blue. I like cats, long walks on the beach. And also, and
I had this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you probably like had groups of friends growing up still, like anyone else, because especially I feel like when you're young, kids are less likely to question anything that might be different in someone else.
Exactly. Know? It was like really as normal as it could have been.
What part of your brain was it in?
I don't know the brain terminology. It's in the back right side.
Okay. Was it pretty deep, or was it on the outside of your brain? Did they ever tell you?
It's like sort of, I mean, these are the kind of things where if I paid more attention to the doctor visits,
the thing
I would
is
know.
You're wanting to learn more about it now,
right,
which I think is good.
Yeah, I just like, I'm like, you know, just show me the technicalities.
Sure. And if at any point, even as you've gotten older, has it ever registered, like, has it ever caused you anxiety or stress or worry or anything about it developing?
Oh, for sure. Okay. There's been like a few, especially in like a couple years ago or like a year ago, because obviously I'm like, getting ready for my last year at CSU, about to graduate, and I'm like, then I'm going to be closer to being a real adult. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, what if something happens, you know, like with my brain, and it's going to prevent me from doing A, B, or C?
Right.
So the worry that something could happen has deterred me from like certain things or certain choices or things like that, just because I'm like, well, I didn't want to like take that chance. Like, oh my gosh, what if I go to Asia and be a rice salesman?
Right.
Is that right?
And we here at the default setting do not promote or endorse the same opinions of those podcasts on us.
Rice salesman.
I'm just really hungry for sushi right now.
Don't go to the place.
That does sound good.
One of our previous guests used to work.
Right.
But no, it did like cause me stress and anxiety in the fact of like, what ifs, but you know, especially as I like went through the last year, you know, and like trying different things and like, you know, growing as a person, it's like, it's not really a what if, because it does not, and it has not, you know, like, so that's that go with the flow instead of worrying about where the flow could take me. Mm-hmm. I'll just roll with it.
Are you more inclined to take care of yourself physically? Like, do you work out? Do you eat healthy? Or, like, do you at least try to because you're concerned at all about it?
I do those things, but it's not related to that. It's just, it really takes a backseat once I put into perspective that, like, you know, we've gotten to this point just doing what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, if something happens, there's not really much I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want that to, I really don't want that to be a reason that I don't, you know, live my life in one way or another.
Sure. Absolutely. You mentioned you don't mind going to doctor's appointments and things like that.
No, not at all.
So, I mean, like, if something's, like, if you're feeling sick or something's off, you're not hesitant at all to, like, go to the doctor and figure out.
No, I mean, obviously, like, the big sign is if I have any form of, like, seizure or epileptic whatever. But, I mean, I have the medication for that, but I don't, like, wake up with, like, a sore throat and a headache, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
I'm not,
so
like,
you're not hypochondriac.
No, not at all.
That's good. Do you have a pretty like normal immune system? Like you don't have like a weakened immune system?
Yeah.
Me? Okay. That's good. Yeah. I know a lot of my friends like once again, BJ always has like a lot of like issues with she gets sick a lot and like her immune system will just tank from time to time. And it's probably different depending on the type of cancer you have, how your immune system.
And again, like you've had it your whole life. Right. So it's just one of those things maybe that's adapted. Like become a part of.
You're Superman now. Yes,
it's in the water.
You can handle anything.
It's in that Avon Lake.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you do comedy.
Yep.
And you said that you've been doing it for about, you said since December, so about 6 months-ish.
Yeah.
Okay. What made you want to get into that?
Actually, I mean, I have always, in school, I really, really liked presentations and group presentations. Everyone always, like, dreads it, group projects, but I'm like, I love group presentations. Like, if you give me the project, I will put on a show. And that's what I tell the group. I'm like, listen, guys, I know you don't want to do it, but I'll do it. And I think I've just kind of been an entertainer kind of personality because I was in, like, the drama club in middle school. Not really in high school, though. But my friend Jasmine told me about the Hilario at Barrio.
Jasmine Carter?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was just assuming maybe we're friends with,
No, she was like, yeah, I sometimes go on dates with guys to Barrio. It's like Mondays at 10 and they do stand-up. You should sign up. And I'm like, I don't know. But then I like delivered this really stellar group presentation and I was like, actually, maybe I'll give it a shot. And it went really well.
Good.
So where do you come up with like most of your material for stand-up?
It's a lot of it is actually what people say or what I hear people talking about. And you know, like I was out getting sushi with Jasmine, and when we got the sushi, she's like, oh my gosh, look how crazy those rolls are. And then, you know, like in that moment, I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I told my personal trainer.
Nice.
And so that just like became a joke in itself. But sometimes it's like things I see and it's not like I look at something, I'm like, I need to write a joke about this. Like, I'll think about it, and then there'll be, like, a follow-up thought. And it's usually, like, A to B to C before I'm like, okay, there's something there.
So do you just find yourself, like, do you have a writing process where you just kind of make notes, or do you...
Yeah, it's really, I try to, sometimes I'll, like, write, like, I'll take time and write a joke how I would say it. But, I mean, when I write it in, like, my book, especially for that, it's just kind of, like, bullet points. So I'm, like, bullet point, grocery store, bullet point, parking lot, war zone, bullet point, where do these carts come from, bullet point. It's just, and then I just, you know, connect the dots however I want when I'm actually talking about it.
Yeah. So you said you started at Barrio.
Yep.
Back in December. Do you do it pretty regularly or?
Because I started and I was still at CSU and obviously like a lot of those shows are so late at night. I'm like, I got to wake up for class tomorrow. Yeah. So I would really only go out when I was performing and it was at like those usual Lakewood shows like, I'm blanking, like the East End and Barrio. And that, but when I graduated, I was like, okay, now I can try and make more appearances and go to more events, you know? Yeah. Meet some new people. And recently I was at the East End and I met a guy named, his name was Lewis Lee. Shout out to him. And he said, yeah, I'm from Cuyahoga Falls. I'm doing the shows up here in Lakewood. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe I'll come see you next week at Barrio on Monday. Mm-hmm. And so the next week I go there and I see him and, he put on a great show. I wasn't performing and it was like, I usually don't go when I'm not performing, but because I am able to, I'm like, yeah, I want to be there. I want to be in the scene. I want to talk to these people.
For sure.
And so I see him and I'm like, yeah, tell me about the show that he does down at the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Funny Stop. I'm actually going to be hosting there July 5th. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he was.
Do you want to be on the showcase?
Are you allowed to have me on if I already got moved to the finals?
Ooh, were you already in the finals?
I was.
Because all right, Lewis, so let's talk about this.
Lewis was hosting.
Damn.
He hosted the first round of the current, you know, lineup for the competition. And he messaged me on Facebook and he's like, hey, I'm going to be the host. I want you to be there. And I was like, well, shoot, I've never personally been contacted. This is cool.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And so I went down there and it was compared to like the Lakewood shows, just as far as like the venue is, I was like, this is insane. Like this is legitimate. The room's like twice the size.
Spotlight.
The stage is enormous.
And he plays that like Jock Jams intro.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's like, are you ready for the comedy show?
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not.
It's terrifying to anyone who's just started doing this. It's definitely intimidating.
Uh-huh. And it was, so yeah, he was the host and I did a set and I was one of the three people who made it to the finals, which are on July 18th.
Oh, right.
Come
on
down.
Yay.
And he was, I was talking with him after. I'm like, thanks for you know, inviting me. It was a great time. I really liked that venue. I definitely plan to, like, go down, you know.
Did you meet Pete?
I did. Yeah. I walked in and I was like, is this guy in charge?
Yeah.
I was.
You not say yeah, fuck word.
Yeah. I was like, that's fine, because I don't really do that anyway, so I don't have to change
I love
anything.
Pete stories.
Do you try to do a clean set?
I mean, most of my jokes, if not like all my jokes, are like PG, just because, like,
that's just
how I am. It's not like I'm like, oh, how dare you say that. It's just like, I don't like to. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know if
we
it's
need
like,
more of that.
I don't know if it's like my inner Catholic schoolboy that has, like, stayed with me these years.
I mean, if it's not how you, like, speak in normal conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, it could look weird.
Right. It seems forced when you're out there, like, dick, pussy. Yeah. Fuck, you know what I mean? Like, uh-huh.
Yeah,
not,
like, it'd be weird for me to do that.
Yeah, but me, I'm just like, suck my lame, because that's just how I talk, and everyone's like, oh, that's just how she talks.
Right.
So that's not terribly shocking. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, and if you do well at the finals, you get a hosting gig.
Ooh.
So that's how I landed.
Oh, way to put the pressure on. Here I was thinking it was just some friendly competition.
Well, you know what's funny is, I don't know, did Lewis tell you it was a competition when you got
there? He did, but, you know, when I got there, I didn't want to go into it thinking, this is a competition, I need to win.
A lot of people don't know. And I've made the mistake of telling people, like, oh, you should go do it. Like, if someone invited you, you should go do it. And assuming that the person who invited them told them it was a competition, but it's always a competition.
Yep.
And then you don't find out until the end, and they're like, the following people are advancing, and you're like, what the fuck? So, so it's like, it's one of these things. For those who've never been to Funny Stop, they have amateur night on Wednesdays, and the host is supposed to bring a minimum of 5 newish comics, or comics that don't come there a lot. And then from that, it usually ends up growing. Like, usually the person brings, like, 7 to 10. Sometimes Pete, like, will allow just people who drop in, who have done the show a few times. There usually ends up being, I don't know how many people were on your night, but there usually ends up being, like, 25, 30 people on stage. It's, like, a 3-hour long show.
Yeah, we had about, like, maybe, like, somewhere between 10 and 15. It wasn't a good night.
Grueling
experience.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was, like, a standard.
I remember the one I went to, I was, like,
were there, like, 30 people?
How many?
Yeah,
like, next up, and I think I was, like, with Adam, and we were just looking at each other like, how many fucking people are there?
Yeah, because it starts at 8, too, so that's the other thing. When you get that many comics, it goes to 11, and then it's a 45-minute drive from Cleveland, so then it's just, like, it's a long night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so then you advance to the next round, and I think, well, and so what happens with the next round is, like, because 3 people from all these other amateur nights are advancing to this next
round. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, there's going
to
be 20 some people here.
There's going to be probably between 25 and 30 people. And so with that, he picks the top 8.
Oh, okay.
So you have a better shot. And the thing is, it really boils down to what it boils down to a lot is it's a bringer show. So, like, it's as many people. He wants you to bring as many people as you can bring to pack the house. And obviously that benefits you, because if you have a cheerleading squad of people all laughing at everything you say, it's a lot based off audience feedback. So if you have, like, 5
is
people,
it really?
Like, woo! Yeah, I mean, it's partial audience feedback and it's partial judging.
Yeah, because there was a dude in the back that he's like, oh, go see that guy.
Brett, was he glasses, red curly hair?
No, it was like a
guy? Maybe his son.
He was like an older guy.
Pete's son, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. It was, yeah, or it was, I'd, like, never met him. I don't remember his name. But he was like, yeah, here's, like, some tips for the finals.
Yeah. Like, so really, yeah, it just boils down to, because I think the judging comes from, like, audience feedback and, like, how much people really liked you and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, top 8, all are guaranteed a hosting gig. And then whoever is actually, like, the number one person of the top 8 gets to do an entire weekend as a host for, like, people who ever do it. Like, and a lot of times they have Pauly Shore roll through for the weekend. They have what's Chris Farley's brother's name? Kevin Farley. He'll roll through for the weekend. And then you would host, like, the whole weekend. It's like a paying gig.
Cool.
If it's just a one-night hosting gig, you get paid. So it's kind of nice. It's good exposure. So it's definitely fun. I personally love hosting, which is why I actually run 2 fucking shows, because I love hosting so much. Because to me, it takes a lot of the pressure off too. Like, you have to go up and tell a 10-minute set. But after that, you can just go get in the back and get hammered and then riff off of like what everybody else says.
You can say, yeah, how about airline food?
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Yeah, exactly. You can just riff and it's fantastic. And I don't know, like if you didn't have a great set, you still have multiple opportunities to go up and get like say something funny and kind of win the crowd back, which I like a lot. So I'm sure you will do great. I would love to see one of your sets pretty soon because where are you gonna be performing anywhere anytime soon?
Well, so those finals are...
You said 18th?
Or July 18th. And then that next week, I'm going to be at Barrio on the 23rd and then the East End on the 26th, okay. Which is that Thursday.
That's cool.
And actually, after we're done here, I'm driving to Menor
to go
perform at
Toth's
place. Yes.
That's cool. I've never been. I've heard good things about
Me
Toth's.
Neither. I just saw the ad. He's like, hey, we need people for this. And I'm like, great, I'm in.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much comedy around Cleveland.
There's a lot of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, insane. Have you done any open mics yet?
I've done a couple. I went to the Lakewood Village Tavern. That was lots of fun. I just like that atmosphere.
So proper.
I just like Lakewood that atmosphere. Village.
How'd that go?
It was fun because it was just like loud and people just seemed to be having a good time. I don't know if that was because of the jokes I was telling or for a variety of other reasons, but I liked the energy there, and especially because it was like closer together. I'm like, yeah, look at this.
Then you are winning in the comedy game.
Yeah, LVT is a tough room. It's really
is it
funny.
Really?
Historically, oh, yeah. Yes.
I didn't feel like I didn't.
The LVT is rough.
Well, you're a pretty young white person, so you're probably there. Well, I don't know. The comedy's bizarre world because usually white dudes, you know, like everyone looks at them like, what the fuck are you trying to pull? Like, because it's just like they're a dime
trying
a dozen
to pull off
in
a
comedy.
Tan.
Yeah, like, because they're a dime a dozen in comedy. So, but I don't know. Like, yeah, LVT is weird. LVT is weird too, because there are nights where it is.
There's like cringe moments just as an audience member. I'm just like, oh,
yeah. There was one of those like on, like when I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, people just go up there and they get drunk and they ramble or they think they're going to start roasting the crowd or like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like when. Like, comedians do that.
Weird shit. Just,
like, right off the bat.
Right.
Just start, like, pissing on the audience. We're like, do you want us here? Do you want us to laugh?
Well, the nature of an
totally
open mic
else.
Is, like, anybody can go up. So, you know, when anybody can go up, anything can happen. There's no one screening.
Exactly.
On the stage. Have you done other ones?
I've gone to Gary Graham hosts one in Willoughby.
Oh, yeah, Garage Bar.
Yep, that
I
place.
I love that.
I went,
he's our next guest, so.
Yeah, he's a, that was a. That was a good time. There was a sign up, speaking of, you know, anyone going up, there was a guy who was there with like a group of his friends, and he must have been like around my age, who was really like younger looking guy. And he had never done like anything like that before, but his friends are like, dude, just sign up, you can do it.
Yeah.
It was good.
I love Garage Bar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cool atmosphere anyway. Uh-huh. You have a shitload of like arcade games.
There was
and
like
cool tables.
There's like four doors on that building.
Yeah.
Only one of them works. And so I walk up and I'm like, nope. And then I go around and get in, only to see that the windows are tinted on the outside, but
oh,
not the
that's
inside.
The worst.
So I know that these bartenders are like staring at me like, what is this idiot doing? Doesn't he
just
know
like
that only
the other
door.
You should put a fucking sign on the doors that don't work.
There was a sign, it said like use other door.
Oh,
like
it did?
Which one?
Oh. Well, that's true. Yeah. If it just keeps saying use other one and you're like, all right, well, let's narrow
torture.
This down. So are you at the point where you have like a solid five you can do off the top of your head or?
Yeah, I think there are personally, I like to always try out like new jokes. Okay. I don't like to be like these are like my best ones that I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I like always like to use at least like half my things. Be new, but I don't like just think of something that day. Usually I'll like sit on one for a while, but then by the time I write it out, I'm like, this is ready to go. Like, this is a prototype that I'm ready to try out. And so, like, it feels new to me. And because although I don't think I'm at the level where people are going to be like, oh, this guy again, here comes the joke about cats. Like, I don't.
No, I'm not that. That's me. I'm that guy. I'm the joke about cats guy. Yeah. No, I'm
But yeah, I think there's a few that I have used that I'm like, these are solid.
Have you incorporated anything in about cancer into your jokes yet?
Not yet. And I always think about it. I'm just not sure really how to. I mean, there's a ton of things you could do if I bring up anesthesia. Just be like, what are stupid things that you've said? Because, you know, when I woke up from surgery, I was like, what the hell are you doing here to my mother? It was, and there's just like a wealth of opportunity with that.
Yeah, it sounds like good stories, at least.
Yeah, it's just I haven't really figured out a way. Because oftentimes, You know, there's a few things my father took notes on from when I woke up from the most recent surgery. But when I read them back, I'm like, these aren't funny. Like, in the moment, it's hilarious, sure. Especially to me.
Right.
But if I were to try to tell someone, it's like,
translate.
Yeah, it's like, you had to be there. And if you right. weren't there, literally. This is so awkward.
Do your parents, have they come to see any of your performances yet?
Not yet, but that's because my mother is like a really early person. She likes to be,
okay.
you know, like have everything shut down and ready to go for the next day by like 5 p.m.
Yeah. Are you kind of at the stage right now where it's just kind of like a fun hobby, or do you foresee it like you wanting to pick it up more?
It's a little bit of both. Like when I started, I was like, this is cool, you know, the creative outlet. But then my aunt was like, oh, isn't that a cool hobby he has? And I was like taken aback slightly. I was like, how dare you? This is my passion.
Don't call it a hobby.
Yeah. How dare you? Yeah, Mary Santora, if you meet her, she's the funniest comic in Cleveland. But she...
I think I've seen her before.
She's amazing. I actually performed with her last weekend. And she has this thing that she'll often post where it's just like... if she's doing really well, like she actually performed in Hawaii for 2 weeks back in the spring. Yeah. And she posted this picture of her doing a handstand in front of a volcano. And the caption was just like, my reaction when people ask me how my little skits are going. And I was just like, oh, I love it so much. And then every once in a while, she'll just bring it up where she's having a really good week. She's like, oh, how are my little skits going? And then she'll be like, she'll be out like at the West Side Market with the Sklar brothers, like eating a sandwich or something. Like, oh, here's how my little skits are going. Like, she's amazing. So I think it sounds like you're a well-adjusted human being with a well-adjusted life. There's not really a ton to really dig into. I mean, boring as shit, man.
Yeah,
just because you're
sorry.
So like good about everything.
I'm like a really like normal person, all things aside. Like I don't have like a, by the way, I've murdered several people.
Ooh.
It's not. No.
Let's talk about that.
I'd rather we didn't. I plead the fifth.
No, this podcast will never air. You can just tell us. Like,
it'll mysteriously disappear.
Do you kind of want to stay in the Cleveland area for the foreseeable?
That's like really when it's like goes with the flow. Like if I have to, sure. But if there's like, I'm not going to not look for opportunities wherever those may take me.
Sure.
And like whatever those may be.
Do you travel at all?
Nah, I used to travel a lot as a kid because my dad's side of the family, like they all live in like a different state. I have cousins in Boston, in Chicago, West Virginia, and then my grandma lives in Florida. And so I've traveled a lot. I don't travel a lot, you know, at the moment. Just like, no, like not really like too interested in like traveling.
Not a big like priority.
Not really, no.
Okay. I mean, because yeah, that's the cool thing about comedy is it can definitely take you places as far as like, and I mean, a lot of times it's regional.
Right.
But you know, as you start to get to know more people, you know, groups of us are always road tripping somewhere up to like, you know, Michigan or some random festival in Kentucky or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So those are always fun. I would highly recommend road trips to festivals and things like that. What else? I don't know. Is there anything else you want people to know about your experiences with having cancer from either the beginning or till now? Or
I'm not sure there's really much I could tell you that would make sense because obviously it's going to be unique to everybody involved. You know, like not everybody is going to be as like maybe calm about it as I am. Maybe there's people that are even more calm about it than I am. And maybe there's like people who are like very visibly have like, you know, results from that. Whereas I look like a normal human being. Mm-hmm. There's not, it's really is like tailored to, you know, whoever you are and whatever flavor cancer you have. It just doesn't,
right.
There's no like,
it's combined with your personality that already exists too. It's, you know, people react to things differently.
Do you have an opinion at all on medical marijuana and how it helps cancer patients?
No, not really. I mean, I'm never really into any kind of drugs.
Okay.
I'm just so like, whatever.
I'm wondering how comedy is going to work out for you being so straight laced. Like,
yeah, me too.
You might be better suited for improv. Well, and I say that just because like improv, like it's literally like improv is like a glee club. And like stand up is like the fucking goth kids, like all doing lines, but like way worse because they're like all like doing lines and in the bathroom and all that shit. It's just funny because I have improv friends. And the reason I know my improv friends is through a friend who she started she's always done improv, and then she tried to get into stand-up. So she and I met and became friends. And then she introduced me to a bunch of improv friends, and she's just decided, like, she prefers improv. But she's much like me, where it's like, we're not completely, like, straight-laced. Like, we smoke weed, we get drunk. Mm. You know, we're not insane, but, like, we have a little edginess, whatever. We swear, you know, that kind of thing. She took me out one night with a group of her improv friends. First of all, they were all, like, they all looked like they were 12, like, first of all.
I already fit in.
Yeah, and so the second thing, it was really fucking funny because it was at Hilarities, and so we were all participating in a lip sync battle, which, again, is so wholesome. Like, it's just the most wholesome
thing. But I love lip sync battles.
It is great, but it's so wholesome. And so then at one point, we won the lip sync battle, so we won, like, two pitchers of beer. So, like, this waitress all of a sudden comes over and brings us two big pitchers of beer. Brutus, don't eat the cord to the fan. I'm just waiting for
the distraction.
Gigi's playing a cat herder, trying to make sure he doesn't knock the fan over. So they bring over two pitchers of beer. There's like six of us. I'm sitting on the end, and so my friend pours me a cup of beer. She pours herself one, and then I see her like pass the pitchers over. And then all of a sudden I look back over a couple minutes later, and she sets the pitcher down, and she sets a couple glasses, and she's pouring the glasses back into the pitchers. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, I forgot that Jenny is 20. And she was like, oh no, it's fine. Like, no one here cares. And she was like, her friend Todd, or I'm making up these names, but her friend Todd, who's like, you know, like 25, looks at her and he's like, don't pressure her, Aaron, if she doesn't want to drink. And I'm like, what is going on right now?
It's light beer.
See, that's the situation where I would just be like, listen, you just do whatever you want. I don't care. Like, I'm so...
But it was so funny because the girl was they were really like,
I was in a situation like that, I would just immediately leave because it would be a total buzzkill.
It
be
was
like,
an after-school special. And
she wasn't just like, oh, no, thank you. She was like, she made it like a big deal
out
of it.
Well, no, because like Aaron went to hand her a pint glass and she was like, oh, no, thanks. And she was like, oh, like... do you not drink? And she was like, well, I'm only 20. And she was like, oh, well, no one here cares. Like, it's totally fine. And that's when, like, her other friend was like, Aaron, don't pressure her. And I was like, what is going on right now? Like, this is literally an after-school special.
That is the first and only instance of, quote, peer pressure that I've ever even heard of outside of, like, fifth grade.
Right.
Like, it's
real. It was just the silliest thing. So so that's when I effectively realized, I was like, oh, improv's like literally like these kids.
Yeah, she's supposed to go yes and yes, I'll take it.
Yeah. And exactly. You're ruining it. So do you have a social media presence anyone can follow you on?
I do. Facebook has like the biggest reach, although when I say to people, oh, follow me on Facebook, they always give me like this weird look. Like, Facebook's outdated. I'm not supposed to be using that.
Oh, because you're a child and no one uses Facebook like, under the age of, like, 25, yeah.
Yeah. But I am on Facebook, and that's usually where I'll, like, share any and all comedy-related events that I go to or am involved with.
Do you have, like, a specific Facebook, like, URL, like, facebook.com/SamAuble?
Sam Auble, yeah.
Okay. A-U-B-L-E.
A-U-B-L-E, that's correct.
And do you have Twitter, Instagram, anything like that?
I do have a Twitter. Okay. It's just @SamAuble.
Very nice. It's always nice if you can get your own name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, my full name is Samson.
Oh.
That was taken, though.
That's an intense name. I've never heard your last name before. Like, I've never heard of anyone else with that last name.
It's a cool last name.
It's funny because when we moved, someone moved into our old house and their last name was Schnobble.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
It was just kind of like out of a sitcom. Like,
meant to be.
Oh, my God. You should marry someone with the last name of Schnobble.
No, but I would love Schnobble. To get involved with a girl named Sam. That way we can be called the Sandwich. That's like one of my backseat life goals.
That's so great.
Single girl's name Sam.
Backseat life goal.
Definitely check out social media.
That's amazing. I actually have a friend. His name is Jesse, and his partner's name is Jesse, and so they're like,
see, that's ideal.
Jesse and Jesse, yeah. So it's just very
Jesse
easy.
Jesse and Jesse.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy, but in some ways, I feel like I don't know. It probably gets fucked up a lot. I don't know. Geech, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Facebook, Hannah Grace Fisher, or you can find me on Instagram, ggchick, ggchick.
You can find me at EpicFaul, EpicFaul, on Instagram and Twitter. I want to thank Pete Milk for doing our recording and production, and I want to thank Above Below Entertainment for being our network. Okay, love you, bye.